Get ready for Big Guy Small Talk. It's the most beautiful time of year. Lights fill the street, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. That's Justin Bieber, y'all. Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. It's how I do my Christmas. Christmas is in 4 days, so Merry Christmas ahead of time, man. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you're seeing family and Yuletiding or tiding them yules or yuling them tides, however that goes. Today's episode features my buddy, my longtime friend, Connor, and we just had a good time. You know, he came over, we had some drinks, and we just chatted, caught up. But we talked forever. We probably talked a total of an hour and 45 minutes. I don't know, we had beer breaks in between then. So because of that, I'm breaking it into two parts. So part one, we're pretty much just catching up. Talk about some X-Men stuff, some Marvel stuff, some comic book stuff. He asked me lots of questions about the podcast. He pretty much interviewed me for like the first half hour, which was cool because he made me think a lot. He always does. And then the second part, he asked a question at the end of the first part. He asked me what I think the world's biggest problem is today that no one's talking about. And that's important, that no one is talking about, right? Then part two is starts off with us really just talking about that. So check that out also. But most of all, man, you guys have a good day and enjoy this episode. We're good. We're live.
All right.
So by live, I mean we're pre-recording this.
Okay.
Okay, so you had a question for me.
Sure.
Which you're the first person to have a question for me.
Okay. So. Well, I have two observations and then some questions for you. So the first observation, your podcast is called Big Guy Small Talk, which is a very clever name. It's catchy.
Thank you.
I think you should keep it.
Thought of it myself. Thank you.
Well, you're a pretty clever guy, so.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
So, however, it's called Big Guy Small Talk, and yet most of the talk is not small talk. It's not about the weather. It's not about the Dallas Cowboys. It's about deep and interesting stuff, and I think that's what's going to bring listeners back.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I hope listeners do come back. I hope people, I mean, if anything, I just hope it helps them get through 30 or 40 minutes of their day. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, God, I could really use some of those two for a little bit.
Yeah.
If they put this in. But yeah, so the reason I think it's small talk is because being from a small town, you talk to everyone and then you ask people like really personal questions all the time. And mm-hmm. So I guess I don't see asking or talking about personal things as. I mean, it is personal, but yeah, I guess it is not like small talk like the weather or mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't watch sports. I watch MMA. That's like the only thing I watch.
Is that mixed martial arts?
Mixed martial arts. Have we watched a fight together?
No, we have not yet.
Oh, dude. I need to have you over for a fight.
Well, the only fights we've watched together are us playing Super Smash Brothers.
True.
Which is Smash entirely different.
Yeah, I've not played video games in a while. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of buying a PlayStation or an Xbox. Which one do you have?
I have the PlayStation 4.
Okay. So I'm going to get I'm trying to figure out what my friends have. That's like
does,
what I'm
does the Xbox now. Play Blu-rays?
No.
Okay. So that's something that's you don't watch Blu-rays, do you?
No. Okay. Amazon mostly. All
right.
I just do all my watching on Amazon.
Yeah. Then they're about the same. Then I guess if you have console specific games that.
Yeah, I like Tekken, so that's PlayStation.
Okay.
Right there. You know, okay. I like fighting games. Also, just don't want to buy a gaming system because I know that I'll get addicted to it. Like, I'll play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I'm trying to not own
one. Fair enough. That's good self-knowledge that you have.
Yeah, man.
So.
How often do you play yours?
Depends on the week. Usually, my default mode is the first 30 minutes when I walk through the door.
Okay.
And Nicole and I are different in that respect. So, if I get home first, which usually happens, I just need to kind of turn off my brain from all the events of the day, play the video games 30 minutes, and then I'm good to go. I'm good. And I'll help do the dishes, cook dinner, all that stuff. Whereas Nicole, she cannot unwind until all that stuff is done. She's like, because if she comes home and sees the sink full of dishes, she's like, I got to do it. And I was like, I'll do it. Just give me like, I got to fight this boss battle and then I'll do it, you know? So
you don't get it.
Yeah.
No, I feel like that's how I was when I was a kid and my mom would come home and it's like, just give me 10 minutes, mom.
Yeah.
And I'll finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do my chores.
And I will. Like, I will do them. But I, yeah. I need that kind of time to de-stress.
Yeah. Do you feel like she is less emotionally drained at the end of the day with her new job?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
Because I will not, because she may be on this podcast pretty soon. So I want to talk about her job. But her job, she may deal with some real life or death stuff that I'm not dealing with.
Right.
So she may be drained or she may not, depending on what her day was like.
Yeah, I always wondered that just because I remember my first year of teaching. Well, you remember yours too.
Oh, yeah.
Every day you just came back like, fuck.
Oh, man. Dead. It was a battle. Every day was a battle. Yeah. So, okay. Going back to your podcast.
Okay.
So I've invented this drinking game that goes along with your podcast.
No, you
and,
haven't.
Yes. It's very simple. So, but if you're driving though, because I usually listen to it on the commute to and from work, so then you just have to have the drinks when you get home.
Okay.
So the drinking game is really simple. There's only two rules. Rule number one is you drink anytime you start the podcast with like a song or like kind of like you have this like Tom Haverford wave, like, what's up everybody? So take a drink anytime Raphael starts the podcast off that.
Yeah.
And then the second rule is take a drink anytime the love languages come up.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think love languages are important, man.
They are.
I will definitely plug love languages as much as possible.
Absolutely. And we'll probably end up discussing that tonight, but
maybe. But, I mean, we can talk about it now. I think they're important because they helped me understand when my partner is being loving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, oh, you're just not seeing it. And so then, you know, it doesn't become like a, oh, you're not loving. It becomes a, you know, could you just try this different thing?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Know? So it
sure. And
shifts the paradigm.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? That's a great drinking game, though.
And I, going off of the love languages, I do think that.
So drink, motherfuckers.
Drink. We said love languages.
God, dude, I miss drinking games. I can't do them anymore. I'll die. I feel like I'll die now. I can't drink something.
Well, that's why there's only two rules. At most, it's two drinks.
Yeah.
So with the love languages, it's almost, if you're the type of person who cares enough to know your other spouse's love languages.
Yeah, try not to karate chop the table.
Sorry. Okay. I chop with my hands.
It sounds like gorilla, you know, so King as, Kong's taking over the city.
So as I was saying, the love languages, if you're the person who cares enough to find out what your partner's love languages are and love them in that way, then your marriage is going to be successful because you're loving them in the way that they want to be loved and not the way that you want to love them.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of people misuse the love languages. Like they use them for compatibility. Like, oh, we're so compatible because of our love languages. And it's like,
true.
That's a small, like, can you stand being around the person? Cause that's kind of like most of compatibility, I think.
Sure.
Do you just enjoy them?
Yeah. And it can be stressful because let's say one person has quality time and the other person has physical touch, quality time and acts of service. The acts of service person is going to want to get up off the couch and do the dishes because they're like, this is how I'm going to love you. And the quality time person's like, why are you leaving me?
Yeah.
So that.
Get your ass up and do dishes with me. You know what I'm saying?
that's one way of compromising.
Yeah, you can do some of that. Yeah. I didn't realize I talked about him so often, but how many times have I talked about him now? I know three.
It was Ryan, Chad, and at least one other person.
I think Jenna.
Yes.
With Jenna, we talked about them. Was it with Jenna or was it with Jesse?
I think it was Jenna.
I don't know. I know off air, I talk about them with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like off of the podcast before we record, I'll have conversations with people. And so I definitely bring them up at some point. Or they do. Mostly I do, though.
So talking about your podcast.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before that you are not big on editing your podcasts. Why?
Yeah.
Why is that?
One, it's a lot of work and I'm lazy. I mean, we're people, we're having a conversation and
sure.
it's going to go sideways or we're going to talk about whatever. We're going to say things that you know, in hindsight, we maybe didn't mean or say things that we're like, oh, shit, I wish I could have worded that better.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it in. Like, who cares? It's a conversation. You can always have another one. I can always have you back on or have someone else back on. Or so the only editing I will do, so I do edit a few things. I edit, like, loud sounds, you know?
Like if, me karate chopping the table.
Right, yeah. Like, if you're banging on a table and it just is real staticky in the listener's ear, I try to fix that. And then I'll level it. Obviously, I'll level the audio afterwards. I'll make sure that, you know, you're just not booming in every time I'm talking normally. So I just want to make sure we're both sounding the same. And then I will take out, like, ums. Like, if I go, I'll just take all those out because no one needs to hear that. And then, what else will I edit? There's one more thing that I really look at. So I'll also try to edit whatever the person wants me to. So, like, if they're like, hey, I really don't want that to be on the podcast. Sure. I'll talk to them about it, you know, and if it's something really personal, I'll just respect their privacy.
Sure. If it's, people at work may hear this podcast.
Yeah, but that has not happened. Okay. So,
sure.
We're good there.
That's reasonable. That's an understandable edit. Last question about your podcast that I have. So what is the biggest lesson or lessons that you have learned while doing this podcast?
Woo! There's been a few. Starting something new is scary. And I definitely am not doing a great... I think in your head you always build up... You know, I'm a big proponent of visualization. Right, there's a term for it, but
visualizing the whole project, right.
Okay, or just in general, like visualizing success.
Okay,
right. So I think it's important to visualize your own success, and I think it manifests itself better whenever you are seeing it, and then whenever you put a plan to your vision,
having a clear picture of the goal that you want to accomplish.
Yes, but then when I visualize it, and then when in actuality it doesn't meet up to those expectations. Right. Like sometimes I don't get content in or sometimes like the audio is messed up or sometimes the people that I was planning on recording with, they just bail last minute because they're busy. And so just all these things it's good to persevere. Like it taught me a lot of perseverance. Like, hey, man, I know that you're not always happy with it, but you just keep trying it. And then. You know, of course you have some people saying, oh, it's a stupid idea, or like, oh my God, another fucking podcast. Like, we do not need any more of them. We're done with podcasts. But it's like, oh, okay. Well, you just keep doing it anyways. Like, it's something I enjoy. Sure. I like talking to people. And so it's something that I'm doing really for myself. And I think just always having to remind yourself why you're doing it and remembering that, you know, you're doing it for me, and then I also do it for the person on the podcast, like whoever's coming on. Like, I want this to be for you to be able to say whatever you want to the world.
I hadn't even thought of that, but yeah, that's pretty interesting perspective.
Yeah, man, I think nowadays we don't listen to enough people. I think we look at celebrities like their lives are really interesting, but everyone's life is interesting.
If you only knew their story.
Right. Like, everyone's really interesting. Everyone's got some crazy-ass stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think in that regard, I now have more respect for your lack of editing than I did 15 minutes ago. Because we see the celebrities, but only the parts that are edited and filtered and airbrushed that are designed or marketed for us.
Yeah.
And in this regard, you see all the ums and the buts and the likes and the pauses. So in that regard, it's more authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could say that it could be more polished.
Yeah.
But well, like if you listen to some people live, they're good at speaking. Like they're on live camera and they don't say like, they don't say, but they elaborate, they enunciate. Everything is like perfect. I don't do that. But well, you know, practice.
But the people who only do that probably do it because of practice.
Yeah,
they didn't start that way. They had a coach who said, "You say the word like too much."
Yeah, I also hope to just be like, you know, as douchey as this can sound, like an inspiration for someone who wants to try something. And by inspiration, I don't mean, oh my God, he's so good, but like, he's doing this and he's not even that good. Like,
but he's trying.
Yeah, it's like, look at him try and struggle so much.
maybe I can do that. Like, yeah. I can definitely do this better than he can. Sure. Or I can do whatever I want to do better than he can do what he's wanting to do. So I'll go and, like, chase my dream, right? Yeah. And so I just hope people see that as, like, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Jump in and just do whatever the hell you want, man.
And I think that's it is your life. I think that's something that came up in the Chad podcast too, and you wrote about it in your episode description, that taking risks, right?
Yeah.
We're afraid of taking risks. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, especially if you're successful at stuff, right? Like if you've done something, you're like, oh cool, I got an A and another A and another A, and then all of a sudden you get a D and you're like, well, fuck that. Like I'm staying
in my lane. Yeah. You know?
Dude, like I hate the D. Yeah. I hate failure.
So I think that's actually a good segue.
Dude.
I have like only one weird dating story.
Was this your plan on like to shift the paradigm and interview me?
A little bit. I wanted it to be kind of like the podcast about the podcast, you know. It's a little bit meta. So, but I do have a dating story, and it relates to this idea of taking risks and being afraid of looking like a failure. So,
shoot.
Let me think. This was so before I met my wife Nicole, before I knew her or was dating her, and Connor was just a bachelor. I went down to North Carolina to visit my buddy Dan. And I'm single at the time, so I go down. And the first or second night we're there, thank you, we go out with a big group of his friends that I've never met. So it's Dan, his girlfriend who I've just met, and like eight other people, and it's a round table. So on my left is my buddy Dan, and on the right is this nice young lady who I found out later was single. So I start talking to Dan, and I'm turning to her, and I'm talking to her some of the night. Then about, like, early on into the night, she, like, pretty much turns her chair away from me. And not complete 90, but yeah. Enough to indicate body language, like, okay, you're not really going to talk to me. Okay, fine, whatever. And I really wasn't that interested in her, honestly. I was just, like, making conversation, being polite, like, kind of like what you do on the podcast, just talking to people, find out their stories. So I then start talking to Dan, and we have a good time, and then we leave the place at the end, and my friend Dan's like, oh, so what'd you think of that girl who you're next to? And I was like, oh, she's all right, but she didn't really talk to me, so I don't really know. And she goes, oh, well, she really, really likes you. And your face that you're making
what?
Is my face that I made. So I said, like, why would she do that? Like, her sign was to show me, like, I'm going to shut you down and not talk to you. And then I didn't find this out until I told that story when I came back to Texas, and I told it to one of my housemates, and she said, no, she liked you, so therefore she didn't want to look stupid in front of you.
Oh.
Yeah. That was, and that was like, I had never encountered that before, that you were afraid to look like a fool in front of me, and so that was your strategy? I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't. But, I mean, I get, okay, so not to, obviously, it was in the past, but you can not look like a fool and not turn your back to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, there's plenty of ways to not look like a fool.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah, but I would bet, though, that some of your listeners out there, like, have a similar story, or they've been on either end. Where
maybe, man. I guess I've never really been afraid of, which is probably my problem. I don't really care if I look like a fool.
No, you just put yourself out there, and as do I.
Yeah, so. I can't relate to people who are that, because, you know, I can be shy. We were talking about that earlier. I can be a little shy, but not to the point where I'm not going to speak up or say something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different. So it's hard to relate to him, you know, like empathetically, like to go,
no.
Oh, no, I get it. It's like, I don't get it. Just do it. Like, what's the big deal? What's going
to
happen?
Like, you're going to talk to someone.
Yeah, and they're like freaking out inside, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
So it relates to the Chad story about taking risks, because that was a person who didn't take the risk.
Yeah.
And just stayed in their comfort zone.
Yeah, man. Do you still talk to her at all? Like through friends or anything?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Really, really didn't talk to her after that night. So, yeah.
Oh man. So, yeah, that's a weird story. I don't think I've got. I mean, I've got some weird stories. I've got some bad dating stories.
Yeah,
but not.
Well, let's hear. I mean, you spend so many time asking other people. So why don't you share one of your bad dating stories?
Oh,
like a bad first date.
Oh man. A bad first date. I'm trying to think of a bad one. I think I have pretty good dates.
Okay.
I don't think I've had bad... I have had a bad first date. I just don't want to put people on blast. So, like, sure. I've had dates where, like, I'm... Ah, okay, I've got a story. So, like, I've been on a date. So, one, she didn't know it was a date. Which was weird. Because, like, we, like, planned on going out. Well, so this is beforehand. So, it was when I was in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in Dallas at the time. And I was coming to visit, I think, you guys.
Okay.
And before I visited you guys, I stayed the night in Dallas. And I said, hey, let's go out on Friday at, like, 7 or 8 p.m. That's dating time. Like, you're not going out for coffee with friends.
That's true. That time is not typically a friend time.
Yeah. So I call her and I'm like, hey, just wanted to see where you wanted to go. And I was telling her the plans, like, hey, I want to go to downtown, go out to eat. Then I have some friends who are meeting up at a bar. I thought we could go there and then we'll just go dancing or something. And that's when she was like, oh, this is a date. Like, she didn't know that. So I pick her up and it was fine, man. We had a really good time. We had fun. And we end up kissing at the end of the night. And it was fine. It was fine. I was like, this was cool. Like, this is a cool date. Dropped her off, you know, went on my way. And the next day, man, she was just like, well, she was just kind of freaking out over the kiss. Because I don't think she'd ever really kissed a guy on the first date or really kissed a lot of guys in her life. I think she was kind of one that just wasn't used to, like, a dating scene.
Sure.
And more used to guys who were like, hey, do you want to get married? Like, just, like
bypass the dating and go to relationship status.
Just, like, really fast. And so I was just like, well.
Yeah.
So she called me up just, like, freaking out. I was like, well, what do you want to do? Like, if you don't want to talk, we won't talk. Or, you know, we'll talk. I don't really. I'll do whatever you need because I don't want to be weird. You know, like, keep pressing her to talk to me. I was like, you know, just figure out whatever you want to do. So she ghosted me for like a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And then we ended up catching up again like in the next 6 months or something. And it was cool. It was fine. So like
but then you were just friends at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. You know, so like we barely keep in touch, you know, on Facebook. We'll just say, oh, hey, what's up every once in a while. But she's good now, man. Married, kid, great life. So happy for her.
Well,
but that was a weird date. And the date was good. It was just like afterwards. Right, like you're just like, where's all this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't weird.
Well, because you had one set of expectations and she had another.
But when did we have those? Because I feel like when you're sucking face with someone, y'all got the same expectation.
But I mean, before that point.
Oh yeah.
So going into the night, you had certain expectations.
Yeah, she did not.
And she did not have those expectations.
Yeah, she did not expect such a charming chap to take
just
on
sweep her off her feet.
Yeah, I guess so, man. I don't know.
Have you ever seen the movie 500 Days of Summer?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a scene in it that relates to what we're talking about where the narrator says something about his expectations he thought would align with reality, and it shows it side by side of how he thought the night was going to go and how the night actually went, and that reminds me kind of what happened on your date there.
Yeah, I think she thought, oh, we'll go out for food. He'll bring me home. And it was like, no, we went out for food. We saw some friends. We went dancing. It was a good time. It was fun. Yeah, man.
And I would say that is probably the best piece of marriage advice I've ever received is communicate expectations. Because when married people are fighting about the dishes in the sink, it's not really about the dishes in the sink. It's because they each had different expectations about who would do them, when they would be done by, how they would be done. And yeah.
Are you the kind of guy that washes them and then puts them in the dishwasher?
Yes. And Nicole's like, just put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah. I like Nicole's method.
No, I see, because what I hate is when you pull them out of the dishwasher and they're still like a little bit dirty and I'm like,
run that shit twice.
No, because it clearly, like, that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing and expecting different results.
But it's not the same thing. It's patently not, right? The first time they went in, really dirty. This time they're going in, kind of dirty. Like, it's just not the same thing.
No.
You know?
So. In the time it takes me to run it and unload it, I could just wash the thing again by hand and be done with it.
I would just shut that door, lock that latch, and hit go and go back to the TV.
And I also think, too, it has to do with the way you were raised. And that's one thing when you get married is you find out you inherit all of their better or worse baggage. And their family and their upbringing and their everything.
Yeah, not really though, because they had to wash dishes by hand and they had to be really clean.
Mm-hmm.
But I just
No, I'm not saying you do things the way you were raised, but maybe because you were raised that way, you appreciate a dishwasher.
Oh yeah.
More definitely. Than someone.
Like,
someone
I refuse to wash a dish if I don't have to, except pants. Like, I'll definitely wash pants by hand.
Well, because you got to get that nonstick surface. You want to keep that intact.
You got to take care of that shit.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
We're boring.
That's what that said. So this episode, we talk about washing dishes. All right. So
it's true though, man.
Here's a nerdy question, but if you know either of us, you know that this is a question we enjoy. So. If you could go on a date with any comic book female character, who would it be and why?
Ooh, any female comic book character.
Mm-hmm. DC, Marvel, whatever.
Gambit.
So, are you saying that Gambit's a female character?
No,
or you just have a huge man crush on Gambit?
I have a man crush on Gambit. Okay. It would be Gambit in a heartbeat. He's funny. He's charming. He knows magic tricks and shit, so that's cool.
I can just see you both with a deck of cards and be like, oh, dude, that's dope. And he's like, oh, mama mia, that's great. Like,
he can activate the kinetic energy in any object.
Yeah, he turns potential energy into kinetic
energy.
That's
awesome.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be cool. Well, definitely Gambit.
In a way, though, isn't that what dating is? Turning the potential energy into kinetic energy?
You should write for Hallmark. That's a good card.
Here's our Valentine's Day gambit card. Yeah.
Let's actualize this potential. What about you?
Okay, it's really funny that you said Gambit because you know who mine is?
Who?
Rogue.
Oh.
So
there they go. We're a match made in heaven.
Exactly. Rogue for like the funny reason and then the serious reason. So the funny reason I would say Rogue. So that way my wife Nicole there would be no possibility of me cheating on her.
Oh, that's true.
So she'd be like, did you make out? Like, no, because I'm not in a coma.
Yeah, that's true.
So but I think Rogue is a very fractured personality. She's got other identities within her, and something like holding hands, which you and I associate as a pleasant memory, for her is the painful one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think weird. That'd be interesting to kind of dig deep into her mind.
Yeah, so then going on that, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be weird though if, so the X-Men evolved, right? From
well, they are mutants.
Yeah. So, but human beings are inherently social creatures.
Yes.
So it would just be, I would see that as like a, I don't know, like the evolution of that kind of mutation seems so far-fetched.
Like of Rogue's like, mutation.
Right, like touching,
it has no
touching kills people.
Evolutionary advantage.
It's like people who are allergic to water or people who are allergic to the sun. And it's like, that sucks. Yeah. Like, that's got to really suck. It's also super rare. So.
Yeah, well, but again,
it's,
I think
obviously
it's
an X-Men,
it's like that. Well, yeah, but it's like those rare mutations are only for one generation. It's not
really.
I mean, I'm assuming I don't.
Oh,
why would you pass that on?
Yeah,
if there's natural selection.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So. I don't think that's a real. Well, I would say I don't think that's a realistic mutation. But then you do have people who are allergic to, like, the sun,
mm-hmm.
like having an allergy to water. That's crazy. Yeah,
that's crazy.
There's some crazy, crazy allergies out there for people. That sucks, man.
Yeah. So if you're allergic to water, and like your body's made of water,
I think it's like an epidural effect. So it's just
something. So when your skin touches the water, there's some kind of reaction that your body's averse to.
Yeah. Okay. So like, I think either it's the water or it's. I know there's like one person who every time they bathe, their skin peels off. Like their skin's always peeling off.
Really?
So they have to bandage their skin all the time. But it may not be due to water. That may be someone else. But I just know, like, taking a bath, they do it, like, once a week, and it sucks. Because they just, like, their skin's always falling off, and they got to, like, bandage it up
again.
That's
terrible.
Yeah, man, we're blessed.
Yes.
We're blessed.
We should be great. Again, like the dishwasher thing, you should be grateful for what you have. Took a shower, skin didn't fall off.
Yeah, dude. I remember the first time I met a kid in high school, or was it middle school, and his family had a dishwasher. And he didn't want to load it. And I was like, what? Like, just load. What? Like, you don't have to wash it by hand. Just load that shit. Walk away. Like, we're poor, bro. We don't have one. I don't know what the fucking dishwasher is. So, just weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you think of the new Thor movie? Because we haven't really talked about it yet. I think you wanted to save it for the podcast. podcast?
I don't know because you were on a long drive to your hometown, so I don't know if we talked about that
That's right.
I did like the new Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok. Spoilers ahead if you haven't seen it, so maybe you want to stop listening now. I thought it was very funny, which in a way that neither of the other two had been. Good writing. And yeah, it set it up perfectly for Infinity War.
Yeah, I think the reason it was funny was because they're going to put it with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And they're funny. Mm-hmm. Like if you watch the Guardians movie, it's like punchline after punchline.
Yeah.
So they want us to relate that.
Believe that these two characters.
And Hulk and,
yeah,
you know, so I think, mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. Do you think Hulk's going to play with Thor or with Iron Man more? Who's his play pal going to be?
I think Iron Man, because Bruce Banner and Tony Stark are both scientists, so they have that going for them. And if you see the trailer, it's Banner, Stark, and Doctor Strange, and whoever the chubby Asian guy is who hangs out with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Forget his name.
I forgot him too.
Yeah.
The library dude.
Yeah.
but now he watches the, what do they call him?
Like the Sanctums or something?
Yeah, he watches the Sanctum in the East, right?
Something like that. Now? Yeah.
Whatever.
So
it's going to be such a good movie.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
I'm excited about Infinity Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel did a good job, man.
Oh, they did it perfectly. Build each character with their own solo movie, and then put them in the team-up movie, then more another round of solo movies, team-up movie. It's a great
formula. Well, it was cool because it brought people who were out of that sphere into the sphere, but in a way that wasn't like, you don't need to know everything that we know in the sphere, but you can just enjoy these movies.
Sure.
Right? And I think that's what I like, is being a geek and a nerd now is almost, it almost means nothing. Because everyone's a nerd. Everyone's a nerd and geek because we all like these damn movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and everyone has the internet now.
Yeah.
So someone who didn't read the comics can just look up on the internet like, oh, they're doing the Infinity Stones plotline, you know? Yeah. And so what I wonder though, because I've often, you know, there's the obvious comparison between the Marvel movies and the DC movies. I think the reason Marvel movies can be easily successful is, again, expectations. For instance, a Doctor Strange movie, there's not that many diehard Doctor Strange movies.
Right.
There are fans, not just Doctor Strange fans, who are going to be like, oh, I really hope he's got the cape in the movie. Like, no one cares about that. Or like, I hope he has Aya Agamotto. But, and the same with Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, no one knows who they were unless you're like one of the 10 people who read the comics. But with a Superman movie or a Batman movie, everyone's got some opinions about them. So you're always going to let people down.
Which is why I think the Spider-Man movies weren't good.
Because like everyone original, has certain expectations
like
about
Venom. When they did Venom, it was like, this isn't Venom. Like, Venom, he was a big, jacked dude who was like, kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he had the tongue sticking out.
Yeah, like he wasn't this nerdy, similar Peter Parker kind of character who just had this, what do they call him? A symbiote find him. And yeah, so I just think that's why Spider-Man was bad, because they used such famous villains, whereas like Marvel's using like fringe villains.
Like,
even Thanos, like he's not a popular villain. Mm-hmm. He's a big villain, but he's not popular.
No.
Right. No. And it's the same thing with X-Men, though I think they did a great job with Magneto in X-Men. You
know? Gandalf Magneto or Michael Fassbender Magneto?
Okay. Both were great.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Right. I think I think Gandalf Magneto was better, though.
Even the beauty of the first two X-Men movies, that scene in the concentration camp.
Yeah,
like that just builds Magneto's character. Like that's who he. Like that's why he. Because he goes, this is how it starts, Charles. I've seen this before, and you're like, he has.
We have to kill them.
He's like, he's got a point. Like
they have to die.
Yeah.
The thing that bummed me out about the first movie was Toad. I don't like the way they did Toad.
Why not?
Because Toad is more. I don't know. Like I was expecting him to look more like Toad from the comics, or to act more like
with
Toad.
A suit and
to just be more like that, because they put everyone else in a suit respectively.
Sure,
they didn't do it with Toad, so I was like, well, that's not really Toad.
Mm-hmm.
Sabretooth was cool, but I don't like. I didn't know if at that point the saber tooth there was the same saber tooth in the Wolverine movie later on.
Well, so I just like to pretend that movie doesn't exist. Yeah, kind of like the fourth movie. Indiana Jones, like there are only three and they don't. Yeah,
but they were good. They're definitely better than the Wolverine movies, the first X-Men movies.
Yeah.
The Wolverine movies are terrible. Although I never saw Logan.
Oh, you need to see Logan.
Do I? I never saw it because I hate the X-Men movies. Or I hate the Wolverine movies.
But it's, okay, it's the perfect way for Hugh Jackman to leave the franchise.
Okay.
In a franchise that has been overly saturated with Hugh Jackman.
That's true.
It's his goodbye song.
And for no reason either. Like, he wasn't the best actor. No. He was a good Wolverine, though. I think he did a good job being a Wolverine, just being like an asshole, like a smart ass. But like really caring about people, protector.
Yeah. They had that instead of the Wolverine Kitty Pryor relationship, it was the Wolverine Rogue relationship. I think why they kind of got stuck in that is the way the first movie's written. He's the newcomer. So like we see the world through his eyes, kind of a thing. Like he learns, like, oh, that, you know. And then the second movie kind of builds on that. Like, he's got this mysterious backstory. He wants to find it more. So they were kind of, like, had doubled down on that. So they had to keep...
Yeah. And then they did the best thing, the Phoenix, right? That was just the best part of the next movie.
Let's just, again...
Wasn't it the best part?
No.
It was so shitty.
Whenever
it's like, oh, now she's just the fucking Phoenix? What? Like, no, this isn't...
But the Phoenix is a cosmic entity.
Yes.
It's not a bad personality.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I thought, man. That was bullshit.
Yeah.
That was utter absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
Whenever it was like, she's back. She rose from the dead as Phoenix. And that's not the way it's supposed to happen.
Well, it was more like she rose from the dead as Angry Jean, and we call it Jean Phoenix. True. You know, it was like... So apparently they're doing the Dark Phoenix the way it's supposed to be done this next movie.
Oh, yeah, because what's her face?
Sansa Stark.
Yeah.
Sophie Turner, whatever her name is. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much about the cast of the new X-Men movies.
Yeah.
So.
All
right. I've just been big into the Marvel movies. Although who just acquired Fox? Disney just acquired Fox.
Disney and Fox. I don't know if the deal is like official yet, but it's pretty much official that Disney will own the rights to the X-Men and Disney owns Marvel. So now they have the complete Marvel universe.
Fucking dude.
Oh yeah.
How crazy would it be if we had like a real Avengers movie with the X-Men?
Oh yeah. The like way Wolverine, Storm,
the way God
Spider-Man. I'll even allow some Fantastic Four characters to come on.
Yeah.
Like, fine thing. You can come play.
I think we need a Planet Hulk movie. Or a World War Hulk.
The closest they got to that was Ragnarok.
Yeah.
That's probably as much as you're going to get.
No, I know, man. But I still think... Yeah, because they didn't even set it up for like a World War Hulk movie.
Well,
because
the good guys are the bad guys in World War Hulk.
Yeah, and they didn't kick him off the planet. He left.
Mm-hmm.
He left of his own accord.
Yes. Yes, he did. In his Quinjet, off into the sun.
No, that was a great movie. I liked it. I mean, we could talk about Justice League, but I don't give a shit about DC.
Well, let's. So. I want to kind of change it a little bit.
Dude, you talk about whatever you want, bro.
All right,
I'm just drinking beer and chilling.
What is the biggest problem facing our generation that not enough people are talking about?
What
is the biggest problem that facing our generation that not enough people are talking about?
You know, I don't. So I have a very nuanced view on these kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
been reading a lot of history lately. And if you just look at the history of humanity, we're doing really well. There's like
in terms of what?
Everything. Like there's the modern medicine's amazing. Technology has helped people connect to each other, helped us see what's going on other sides of the world and help people all across the world. We have less war than we've ever had in the history of humanity. And so when it's like, what's the biggest problem facing our generation? It's like, okay, I can have opinions about that. But the first thing I want to do is put it in perspective on like, of all generations that have existed, we have it the best, at least here in the States. Right? Like we have it going really well.
From the Maslow's hierarchy of needs perspective, yes.
Yes.
We've met the safety, security, whatever the bottom two are, that we're not dying at 30. So, yes. In that regard, yes.
But I think it would be unfair for me to answer that only because I don't know every problem that exists. And then if you're only getting, if you're only getting your information from the media is going to have a slant or a bias.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so it would be unfair for me to say, like, oh, well, I read the other day that, you know, this is the biggest problem. It's like, well, sure. Is it though? You know, because I think when we did ACE together, right?
Which is a teaching program for those that don't know.
Yeah. You teach in impoverished Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. One thing that people don't know is like most Catholic schools are like dirt poor.
Absolutely.
And so whenever I tell people about that, they're just like, oh, really? And it's like, yeah, like they're dirt poor, but they make amazing students. Like we just churn out amazing students and we work with great families.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that. God knows how. We had no money, few resources doing it.
And yet,
it's and so all that to say is like the ignorance of a lot of people about that, I think is important for you to realize. Like I'm the same level of ignorant about a lot of things
as other people are about Catholic
about schools. That. Yeah, like I don't know the problem with a lot of things. Like for instance, the transgender community stuff. I don't know anything about that. You know, like if I can have an opinion about it, I cannot have an opinion about it. But at the end of the day, like I don't live in it. And so I don't want to be a voice for people that, like, I want people to have a voice for themselves, rather. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's kind of, in a way, what your podcast is about.
Yeah. So I don't want to be a voice for things that I don't, like, that I'm not a part of or that I'm not in community with. So I don't know, man. I think just in general, more love would be good. People being nicer to one another, you know?
Yeah.
And do you know what would help that?
What?
Smoking some weed. For real, bro. You do that with someone and you connect with them on a level that just alcohol can't do for you. You know what I'm saying?
So Raphael's solution to the world's problems. Chill out more, smoke more weed.
Or just
love more.
I mean, but honestly, man, like you see people, you can't turn around without hearing about some dumb shit that Trump has said.
It's everywhere these days.
Yeah. Or like something that happened in the media or sex scandal here. And we have to know the news. Like it's good that we know these things, but we should also be able to talk to one another about other stuff, right? Like how's the family? How are you doing? Right? Like how's your mental health?
More authentic.
Like, yeah, man. Like are you feeling loved and supported in life? Because at the end of the day, like all these problems happening around us, they affect us, but handling the immediate needs, I think, are just always more important. So,
yeah, I would agree.
I don't know. What do you think the biggest problem facing the youth is?
I did, because I prepared the question, so I thought about this a lot.